Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Okay, welcome back to yet another sparkling edition of our On The Record podcast series, which is put out by our good friends at Audio Boom.
Yes, indeed, it is put out by Audio Boom, and that's why it's full of information.
I'm sorry, did I catch you unawares there?
Not at all, no.
You sound as if you weren't quite coiled like a spring, as you normally are.
I was coiled like a spring, don't worry, and ready to go.
Okay.
Now, I'm making no apology about mentioning the first person in this Audio Boom, John Lennon, okay?
John Lennon?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you, this is a fantastic story I've come across,
do you know
right?
What we've managed to do so far?
Yes.
We don't talk about the Beatles that much in these podcasts, because you're always talking about it whenever you're on the radio. It was raising Paul McCartney, the Beatles, it's some bloody anniversary. Ringo Starr.
Okay.
Why are we doing
but
it now?
Well, it's a brilliant. It's a story from behind the Iron Curtain, okay, when the Iron Curtain was there.
Right.
I've told you for years and years and years that Lennon stopped the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
I also said he brought down the Berlin Wall.
Yeah. But you telling me something doesn't make it true.
I have now concrete evidence that Lennon brought down the Berlin Wall.
Really?
Okay.
Well, you've got a piece of it.
What happened this week was my informants from behind the Iron Curtain tell me. Yeah, that's
I didn't know you had any. Is that like Elsa Klum or whatever her name was? What was her name?
No.
The shoes and the daggers.
Klebb.
That's right. Elsa Klebb.
Club, you have the poison. Well, no, but it's some sort of thing. Now, what happened this week, very sadly, a bloke in Russia died called Kolya Vasin.
Kolya?
Yeah, Kolya Vasin.
Yeah.
And guess what? He started the first Beatles fan club behind the Iron Curtain in 1964.
Oh, yeah.
He was persecuted for it all for the rest of his life until the Berlin Wall came down in 1990.
When you say behind the Iron Curtain, was he in East Berlin? Where was
Leningrad.
He? Leningrad?
He was in Leningrad.
So he was a Russian?
He was a Russian in Leningrad, and he started a Beatles fan club in 1964, okay? He helped to smuggle millions of Beatles records into Russia, which were then distributed to young Russian people who then rebelled against their communist yoke masters.
Back
okay?
in the USSR.
Well, do you know, back in the USSR, funny, because I was trying to find as much information as I could about it, I didn't realise, despite the fact that I know almost everything about the Beatles.
No, you don't. You only got three
quiz. Back in the USSR was written as a mickey take by Paul McCartney and John Lennon.
Of the Beach Boys.
Of the Beach Boys.
Everybody knows that.
West Coast Girls
Knows that. California Girls. And that's why they wrote back in the USSR.
Yeah,
You must know that they had a massive feud with the Beach Boys.
Yes, that's
every
time
the Beatles brought a new album out, the first thing the Beach Boys did was put it on their record players and listen to it.
That's right.
And put their head in their hands and went, fucking hell, this is really good. Well, we're going to have to do something better.
One of the reasons Brian Wilson went mad, Brian Wilson being the main songwriter the Wilson Brothers, was that he wrote all the songs
quite a lot of drugs involved.
on Pet Sounds, said this is the greatest LP that's ever been made.
Yeah.
A bloke from the record company, which I think was Capitol, said, I've just been to London and listened to the Beatles' latest LP. Yeah. It's called Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Right.
And he said, Brian, I'm sorry, Pet Sounds doesn't match up even on the first two titles.
No, but they were tortured by the Beatles.
Yeah, they were.
The Beatles used, but also the Beatles were quite in awe as well of some of the musical charms and talents of the Beach Boys.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, they were influenced by them as well.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, Paul McCartney called God Only Knows one of the greatest songs he'd ever heard.
And I think it is a great song.
Yeah, it is a great song. Mm. Of course it is, yeah. But anyway, what happened was this this guy occasionally used to be able to smuggle a card out to John Lennon or Paul McCartney. Mm. And when they had Apple Records in London, he would just write, you know, Lennon, McCartney, Apple Records, Savile Row, London.
Yeah.
Well, one of them got through.
Yeah.
And it was just paying praise and saying, you know, could you send us some sort of symbol of the Beatles?
Yeah.
Can you get it to Leningrad and all that kind of stuff? Mm. So John Lennon arranged for a copy of, I can't remember which album it was. It was like Rubber Soul or something like
Could've
that,
been,
you know, to be sent to this guy,
yeah.
but disguised as an information manual
oh, yeah.
from the British Library, uh-huh. you know, or something yeah. like that. You yeah. know, he actually went about getting the whole thing right. done surreptitiously
right.
to
disguised,
get it in.
Disguised, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this guy ended up eventually, mm. as things got easier and easier in Russia towards the fall of the
yeah.
wall, with every Beatles record which had ever been made mm. anywhere in the world,
right.
including, you know, those that were made in Japan,
yeah.
with, you know, with Japanese writing on the front.
Yeah. Those used to, I mean, there was a time, I remember, when I was yeah. big into vinyl,
yeah.
there was a time
yeah.
where people would go to Japan and play. I remember Bob Dylan
yes.
live at the Budokan,
yes.
one of the great albums to get your hands on.
Yes.
And there was a cover which was mm. different to the Western one,
yep.
which was all in Japanese.
Yes.
They were worth quite a lot of money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely mm. quite a lot of money. And Scandinavia had Scandinavian writing
yeah.
on and all that kind of stuff,
yeah.
you know. And of course, the Russians saw this guy as big a threat to the stability of their regime
yeah.
as Richard Nixon mm. saw Lennon as a threat to the stability
yeah.
of American youth.
They
you
never
know.
Went to Russia, did they, the Beatles?
No, they never went to Russia. But the interesting part of this story is in 2003,
yeah.
so that's way after the war went down.
Yeah, war
way
went
after
down in 89, didn't it?
Eh?
War went down in 89, didn't it?
War went down 89, 90. Absolutely
yeah.
right, yeah. Yeah, that's right, yeah. And but in 2003, Paul mm. McCartney did go to Russia
yeah.
because he was awarded an honorary doctorate by St. Petersburg University.
Okay. All right.
And this guy was invited. And the first time he'd ever met a Beatle, they hugged each other. The bloke cried his eyes out.
Yeah.
They hugged each other. McCartney is permanently on the road, you know, playing greatest Beatles hits all over the world. Mm. Suddenly found this guy
yeah.
who literally put his life on the line to try and promote the Beatles
uh-huh.
in Russia.
Right.
But the saddest thing is,
right.
this guy's died at the age of 73 mm. by committing suicide.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Poor fella.
Yeah. But it's an amazing story, you know, and it came to me via one of my journals,
yes.
and I thought it was absolutely incredible.
Mm.
And you know what? That is the sort of tale, you know, like ABBA had to find some sort of peg on which to make a story up to play ABBA songs.
Mm.
So they chose a ridiculous story about a Greek island and one woman and three husbands, right?
What do you mean?
Well,
Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia, yeah, yeah.
Is
absolutely.
That actually about that?
It's about that. It's about
I know
a woman.
They made a film about it.
No, a woman, the stage play and the film are the same plot.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's got anything to do with the song, though, is it?
Well, what I'm saying is, you can't just say, oh, we're going to have a show featuring ABBA songs. You've got to have a plot to,
yes,
to
yes.
wrap it around.
But what I'm saying is that
yeah.
ABBA did not write a song about a woman who lived on a Greek island.
No, 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 that's what I'm saying. What
yeah.
I'm saying is that some writer came along
mm.
and said, right, we want to put all these ABBA songs on the stage.
Yeah.
How are we going to do it? Oh, well, let's invent a story about a woman on a Greek
yeah,
island.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
That's how they did it.
Yeah,
okay.
How did they get Waterloo into that?
They probably said that the journey started in London at Waterloo. You know,
yeah,
Waterloo Station.
So much rubbish in my
because
life.
I tell you
what,
the
fucking hell
no,
are you talking about?
No, no, I tell you what, it was fucking funny.
Know, there's a bloke called Fernando yeah, over there. Look, oh, that's good.
That's
maybe
right.
we should do it. Maybe we should pick up
yeah,
an album
yeah,
and
that,
see if we can make it stage play.
That's right. Well, let's go into this nightclub. Oh, look, there's the Dancing Queen.
Mm.
You know,
yeah. Well, it's probably a bit forced. I mean, I haven't seen Mamma Mia. I don't
yeah.
know whether you have.
Oh,
you
yeah,
seen
I have. Yeah,
do you like it?
That's
is it
great.
Any good?
Yeah.
Does it work though?
Well, it kind of works.
You can't have James Bond running about trying to sing, can you?
Well, it's a very soppy sort of love story, you know, with all sorts of improbabilities. But
yeah.
no, just getting back to ABBA for a minute,
yeah.
right? I was on a train once coming into Waterloo
mm.
from Stockbroker Belt, Surrey.
Mine, but of course.
And some people on the train who were Americans
oh, yeah.
had been to somewhere like Guildford or somewhere like that,
Guildford,
I don't know, to
yeah.
see relatives or something like
Maybe
that. You know,
to see the cathedral.
No, the cathedral in Guildford's bloody awful.
Oh,
oh
is
it's worse.
Well, I thought it was one of the greatest cathedrals in the country.
No,
is it?
It's one of the worst.
You're
it's
the
like
guy that told me that
yeah.
when you drove past it, you heard this music emanating
yeah,
from the atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought it must sound a bit spooky.
It's like a warehouse. It's the worst
really?
Cathedral in this country.
I'm
I mean,
sure I've driven past it. Looks all right.
No,
it?
It's horrible.
I'll tell you what,
it's up on a hill.
Tell you what it reminds me of. Do you remember when you lived in Washington?
Yes.
If you drove out towards Maryland and there was a way of going out sort of over. Not the 15th Street Bridge, but the other way.
Yeah.
And the Washington Cathedral was sat right up on the top of a
yes,
hill.
Yes, I remember, yeah.
So that
yes.
kind of reminds me of that. Does it not look
no,
a bit like that?
No, not that at all. It's
really?
more like a square box. It's a garage. Horrible cathedral.
Okay.
You know, great cathedrals, York Minster, Wells Cathedral
Salisbury.
In Somerset. Salisbury,
very popular with the Russians.
Very popular with the Russians, that's right, yeah. But I was coming into Waterloo
yes.
once. And these Americans who, you know, been seeing the folks in Guildford and,
yeah.
you know, what a cute county
right.
Surrey.
Beautiful.
Surrey is. And they said, where are we now? Hey, guys. Hey, we're coming out of Waterloo Station. Waterloo. Why do they call it Waterloo? And somebody said, Oh, I think
they named it after the Kinks song.
No, yeah, it's something like that. It was something like, you know, oh, I believe it was built on a water basin, you know, and they had to dredge the swamp and all that. Is that right? Yeah, Waterloo, eh? Yeah, that's a very unusual name. I have never heard of the Battle of Waterloo or the fact that, you know, it's like...
Well, I told you those American tourists Virginia. That I saw came from Dallas, right? Yeah. I told them, because I was just feeling mischievous, I was fed up with the fact that they were hanging about.
Yeah.
I told them that Jack the Ripper had started his killing spree inside this wine bar. That we were in, right?
Yeah.
And they were like, geez, really?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, it's right over there is where he killed his first victim.
Good God.
Pointed to the corner.
It's pretty shocking.
And they absolutely fell for it, hook, line, and sinker.
Absolutely. Now, talking about Waterloo...
I can tell you're not listening to me.
I wasn't listening to you.
No.
I wasn't listening to you.
No.
Now, talking about Waterloo, and that's a nice way to suddenly, you know, move from...
Is it? Okay, segue,
that's it, yeah. now, Waterloo, of course, was Duke of Wellington territory.
Yes.
I'm obviously more au fait with the naval operation at Trafalgar, the Battle of Trafalgar,
right?
Because, of course, of my friends in naval intelligence.
Yes.
In fact, I'm surrounded
the Commodore.
By boats.
How is the Commodore these days?
He's doing well, thanks.
Is he?
HMS Victory, of course.
He doesn't have to go into AA again, has he?
No. I can see the mast of HMS Victory, you know, on the other side of the river from me, other side of Portsmouth Harbour and all that kind of stuff. You know.
Right. Can you see Gosport Hospital, where all those people were killed?
No, that's just up the road. I walk past that sometimes. Could have been over 600 people,
story,
by the way. Yeah.
Blimey.
But, what I was going to say to you was, is that somebody's found some new, like, written material about Waterloo hero, the Duke of Wellington, okay? And, you know, I've said to you before that when Nelson left on the day that he sailed towards the Battle of Trafalgar, he came out of a little hotel in Portsmouth Old Town, and there were thousands there. He was the modern equivalent of, like, Liam Gallagher, you know what I mean?
Because
he was...
Well, everybody hated him.
No, everybody loved him, actually, in those days.
As
like,
you
Liam
were.
Gallagher used to have people who loved him.
As you were.
And the point is, there were no pop stars in those days, no microphones, no records, no television.
No.
So real-life military heroes were the thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
if you could catch a glimpse of them, that was a good thing.
Yes, it was a good thing. Yeah. And they were all cheering and, you know, shouting as he went down to the harbour, got into a rowing boat, rowed out
to
victory.
Did I not read something slightly unsavoury about him recently, though?
No, you might be talking about the story I'm going to tell you, and that is the Duke of Wellington is found to have blown tens of thousands of pounds on prostitutes.
Yeah.
And the reason we know that is because an ancient madam's diary has been unearthed, discovered.
Yes.
And her name was Madame Derville. And,
do you think that was a real name?
Well, I don't know.
Do you think she just gave herself the name Madame Deville? Because it sounds a bit more exotic.
I don't know, but...
You know, Janet Spratt or something.
There was an unpaid bill...
Unpaid?
At this house of ill repute. Right. Well, he ended up getting killed somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But...
hang on, so this is one of your heroes you're talking about, right?
Well, he's not as big a hero as Nelson, but
he's
a hero.
Still one of your heroes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you, as a man of high moral standing and ethics, right? I would have expected to now completely and utterly dismiss this charlatan as a man of low morals.
No.
A man of ill repute. No, a man who not only uses prostitutes, but doesn't even pay the bill.
Well, no, I'm not saying that.
Shocking state of affairs.
I think he would have thought, just as we gave him a massive, great fucking house, number one London Wall, didn't we? Didn't we give him one London Wall?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think we did. One London Wall, yeah.
Okay.
Or some huge house, maybe in...
What's a stately home somewhere in London?
Yeah, off Hyde Park or somewhere like that, as a reward for, you know, defeating Napoleon.
Well, like the place where... Because Churchill used to live there, didn't he? We think he lived at the top of Edgware Road.
Oh, did he?
Number one, on Marble Arch.
Oh, what's that? One what?
Well, I think it's One Hyde Park.
One Hyde Park. Yeah, it could be One Hyde Park.
Maybe
that's
where he lived.
You could be right. And what I was going to say to you is that maybe he thought that he didn't have to pay for anything. You know, like we have some friends who we work with in this industry and they're going out of wine bars and all that.
They don't pay the bill.
No, it never occurs to them.
Some other minion will pick it up.
Well, or you know, that I'm giving you the benefit of my company and you give me the benefit of your...
Yeah, in fact, not only have I forgotten to pay the bill, in fact, I was never going to pay it in the first place.
That's what I never intended to. You
but order another bottle of wine, which is very expensive, but you pay for it.
Or a bottle of champagne. Mm. But anyway... maybe he thought that because he was such a national hero, women didn't regard themselves as being working girls when they were with the
That's a really rum way to operate,
the Duke of Wellington. So maybe he thought, anyway, what happened was In a letter found 1808, Madame Derville, who was obviously French working in London.
Well, she may not have been, though. She could have been from Essex and just pretending to be French.
Well,
I mean, do you remember when I used to walk around as a child in Soho, right? Yeah. And I don't mean I used to walk around as a child on my own. My parents used to take me there sometimes for meals out and stuff.
Yeah.
And there was always these names on the bell.
Yeah.
You know, of all, any place in Soho, like Anne French.
Madame Fifi.
You know, Madame Fifi. I don't think any of them are bloody French.
No, no, okay, I mean, when you look at the name Madame Derville, it reminds me of that Cat Stevens song.
Oh, really?
My Lady Darbenville.
Patsy Darbenville was a woman who was once married, I think, to Don Johnson.
She's
an actress, wasn't
I think she was or something. I think there was a Darbenville, like, photographer type guy around
was
in
there?
The 60s as well, yeah.
Maybe.
But anyway, so she wrote a letter.
Yeah.
Because she just discovered that Wellington, right, was fucking off to Spain on another battle. So she thought, well, if he gets killed...
Yeah, who's going to pay the bill?
Yeah, so she says, having just been informed, sir, that you're going to Spain, I take the liberty to send you your account with me.
Yeah.
I wish you success and a glory, speedy return.
Right. How much was the bill?
Well, the bill was for £2,500, but that's a lot of money these days.
That's a hell of a lot of money for to spend in a brothel.
Well, it
is. That's about £1 million now, isn't it?
Well, do you know how much each quote session was?
No.
£10. So that's 250
visits.
250 visits.
And I mean, are we assuming these were all just himself, or was he paying for his mates to go with him?
I don't know. But
is there some kind of orgy?
You know,
going
you'd
on?
Have to go once a night, 5 days a week for a year to run up a bill of £2,500. You know what I mean?
And I mean, he wasn't between battles for very long, was he?
He was.
No, he wasn't in between battles for very
long. No, he wasn't.
I mean, once a year passed, he was probably off on another battle.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Blimey.
So she said, £10 a session with your favourite, the American lady.
Oh, yeah.
No, I are. So the American lady cost £10,
right.
She said, and your favourite English lady, the blonde, at £5.25.
That's a shocking, so that's a
only,
shocking thing.
So the blonde
the
English lady.
For the blonde girl.
Blonde English lady was only £5.25, right. were among the ladies whom you have visited.
Yes.
Anyway, that letter is actually going to be sold at auction in Penzance in Cornwall.
Very good.
Where it turned up.
And where was the brothel? The brothel's in London.
It's in London,
Okay.
But the biographer of Wellington, a guy called Rory Muir, said the Duke was a very well-known womaniser. But according to my research... was not in England on some of the dates that Madame Derville specified.
Oh, so
and therefore, somebody could have taken his place.
Do you think maybe that she's at it then? Maybe, it's not actually a true story.
No.
But you never know. It's a very interesting one.
You never know.
I'm surprised that you have not castigated him for being a man of low moral fibre.
Well, Hill did it in those days. Everybody did. I mean, even in these days, of course, we know now from the biography of the Duke of Grosvenor, Duke of Westminster, Lord Grosvenor, Duke of Westminster.
The one recently.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we knew that he was at it all the time.
Was he?
We got lonely and bored, and he was a billionaire, didn't know what to do with his life, so he started ringing up, high class hookers who used to come round. And do you know how they found out?
Yes, you do.
Do you know how the story got in the papers?
I don't know.
He used to pay them, right, in cash in a sealed envelope, but on the back of the envelope was embossed Grosvenor Estates.
Very nice.
So one of the girls thought, that sounds quite posh, I'll take it to the News of the World.
Yeah, right.
And that's what she did.
Dear God.
Hey, Porky.
Yes.
You ever met Kevin Keegan?
Not only have I met Kevin Keegan, I'm delighted to say I've worked with Kevin Keegan on a number of occasions. I have to say, a top professional.
He is a top professional, and guess what? He's got an audiobook coming out.
He certainly has.
And what is it all about?
It's my life in football, and it is, as you say, the former England captain, the former England manager, the man who created history by going to Europe, right, and establishing records there that no English player had ever done before. Now, the book, My Life in Football, he tells the full story of the glorious highs, which I've just mentioned to you, but also the pain of managing England and his unhappy return to Newcastle for a short-lived second tenure.
Yeah, it's brilliant, it's funny, it's passionate, it's deeply moving and incredibly honest. It's the full story of an incredible journey from minor son to being crowned King Kev by his adoring fans.
That's absolutely right. He is one of the greatest players we've had in English football history. As I said, he went to Hamburg, but he also pioneered, he not only pioneered that, he pioneered the route from a lower league team up to Liverpool. I remember him in the cup final in the 70s when just before he went off to Europe. My Life in Football will embrace the great clubs he's been part of, the triumphs, the despairs, literally the teammates, the very famous footballers, the class internationals he's played with, the rivals he's encountered, the managers he's played for, and the players he himself has managed.
And who can forget that incredible game between Liverpool and Newcastle, right?
Absolutely.
Which ended up with a 4-3 scoreline. Yep. One of the greatest games in the history of the Premier League. And who can also forget that time when he went, I would love it! I would love it!
Yeah,
about Sir Alex Ferguson.
Oh, absolutely. He was so close to snatching the Premier League title with a team that played such fast, fluent and flowing football. And the fact that he didn't get over the line, the reasons for that and what he puts behind it are all listed in the book, My Life in Football. Can I tell you, the audiobook is released on Thursday, the 4th of October, OK? And not only is it released on the 4th of October, it is available to you right the way through the autumn and the football season, OK? So let me tell you this, the audiobook of My Life in Football, very soon available to download from Audible.
And how does it feel to listen to an audiobook? Great.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So,
yes.
You know, we're edging ever closer to the kind of darker night. Autumn's coming in. You know, do you like it this time of year better?
Well, I like it now that we've broken the back of the heat. Yeah. And in fact, over the last few, last week, it's been a bit of wind blowing around. Mm. And I really do like that indeed. Mm. Now, I'll tell you one thing, though. As the nights draw in, you tend to get into the wine bars earlier because the dark nights are rolling in.
Well, you say that, but I mean, there are some people who still work for a living and they can't just go drinking whenever they feel like it.
Well, yeah,
you know, and they don't finish work like we do in the middle of the day, and they have to actually work all the way through to 5 o'clock.
Yeah, sure, but that's not the sort of...
I must admit, there was a time when I was working...
Not sort of lifestyle I want to follow
in
anymore,
Scotland, when I used to go to work in the dark. It's Scotland, very miserable in the dark winter nights, right? Because you go to work...
Or very beautiful.
Well, no, it's lovely.
Whichever way you look at it.
No, it's a beautiful country, but there were some days when I lived in Scotland that it didn't actually get light. You know? You'd go to work in the dark...
Happened to me a lot.
When it got light sort of for about an hour and a half at lunchtime, it was very, very dull, gloomy light.
Yeah.
And then by the time you were going home, it was dark again.
You could go right through a winter in Fleet Street without seeing a speck of daylight. Yeah. I would always be in there at 7:30 in the morning when it was dark.
Very early.
And, of course, having to need a libation or two in the company bar at the end of the working day.
Yes.
You never got out before 7:30 at night. Yeah. If you got it at 7:30, you were lucky.
Yeah, indeed.
It's nearer 11 o'clock.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway,
they were chucking out time.
Talking about that, what I was going to say is I'm delighted to read from my vintner journals that our love of Prosecco in this country has peaked and gone. Imports from Italy of the sparkling wine have fallen by 7% in the last month.
But they've gone up by about 55% since about 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah, but I'm saying the bubble's burst now.
You think that's the end?
Well, the only way an industry can survive is by employing growth all the time. Once an industry goes into recession, you're finished, OK?
Well, losing 7% of your sales on year-on-year on Prosecco, I think, is probably not time to worry yet. I take your point. It may well be that the plateau has arrived.
Yeah.
But actually, I mean, you know, people are still... I mean, when you're out and about, you still see people drinking Prosecco more than you see them drinking champagne, because it's cheaper.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Apart from anything else.
Sure. No, you do. But the problem is that it's rotted people's teeth.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very badly.
Really?
Now, this comes from one of my health journals. Oh, British dentists have blamed Prosecco's acidity and sugar content on causing millions of people to lose and have damaged teeth.
Well,
this
is why it's better to drink expensive champagne.
That's
right. It doesn't do it.
That's right. For instance, the Italian government have been aware of this for years.
Oh, yeah.
Never done anything about it because they charge very high taxes
on
Prosecco.
Why should they do anything about it?
Because it was damaging the teeth of all Italian people.
Yeah, but that's like Ribena. I mean, if you drink too much Ribena, it damages your teeth. You drink too much fruit juice, it damages your teeth. If you drink too much Prosecco or too much of anything, it damages your teeth.
Yeah, but Prosecco is an alcoholic drink and people drink it as part of their leisure pursuit.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody who drinks too much Ribena or fruit juice is just a dickhead.
Well, or
who
a
should
child.
Drink less.
Well, or a child.
Well, yeah, but children lose their teeth anyway, so it doesn't matter.
No, that's not the point. Children's teeth are rotten now, right? Because they drink too many fizzy drinks, they drink the wrong kind of fruit juice, and they've got all this sugar going into their mouths.
I've seen
the state of kids' teeth these days.
I don't know why people worry about kids' teeth when they're 3 or 4, because their teeth all drop out anyway, don't they?
When they're 3 or 4.
What are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about all the way through their childhood.
Yeah.
If you let, you know, because for a long time, as usual, government advice bollocks, right? If you listen to the government. They said, oh, don't let them drink fizzy drinks. Give them fruit juice.
Yes.
They gave them fruit juice and then it started to rot their teeth.
Yeah.
There's too much sugar in it.
Well, I'm telling you, Prosecco rotted it. Now, the Italian government, of course, were very, very dishonest about the whole thing. And when all these Italian people started getting black teeth, their teeth dropping out, the Italian government blamed it on the import of beers from the United Kingdom.
Really?
Yes.
That's very harsh.
Yeah, they said that was the problem.
Nice.
They also said that the British drinks industry was completely out of control and everybody who worked in it was pissed, were starting propaganda campaigns.
What's wrong with the Italians all of a sudden?
I don't know.
When did they turn into such horrible people?
I don't know. To try and, cast doubt on the very Prosecco drink.
Oh, yeah.
I've never liked Prosecco from the start. It's a false imitation of, as you quite rightly say, champagne.
Yeah, but it's actually, it's nice to go back to champagne once in a while when you haven't had it for a while.
Yeah.
You've drunk. Prosecco is much lighter.
Yes.
It's much easier to drink. It doesn't get you so drunk as champagne, actually.
Yeah,
so you can drink more of it without actually worrying about the effects.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
Have you ever had Prosecco?
Only occasionally.
Really?
Do you know what I've discovered, by the way? Mm. You know, I've said to you over the years, I don't really like champagne. I can't drink it.
Mm.
I recently was given a glass of champagne.
I thought you said you couldn't drink champagne because it was going to kill you.
No, I can't. The bubbles would do my heart in, and it's not very good to diabetes either, and doesn't help the frozen shoulder.
Uh-huh.
But what I was going to say is...
Apart from that.
Is that I was given a glass of champagne and it wasn't in a flute. Now, in a flute, one of the reasons I don't like it is all the bubbles explode into your nose as you're trying to drink it.
Yeah.
But this was given to me in a bowl glass.
Oh,
right?
Like one of those kind of almost like an old baby sham glass.
Yes, that's right, yeah. And do you know what?
That's a proper champagne glass.
I found that quite nice.
Really?
I found I could drink that better and easier,
Well, there used to be, I actually had some old... real genuine baby sham glasses.
Yes.
And they used to make champagne cocktails. I always remember when I was a kid.
The genuine champagne perry.
Yeah,
that was baby sham.
Absolutely horrible stuff. But when I was a kid and I used to go on these golfing trips with my parents and they used to go and play the European Press Golf Society.
Yeah.
People used to drink champagne cocktails.
And they
were absolutely lethal.
Yeah.
People used to walk into walls, walk through windows.
Really?
Because it was champagne mixed with brandy.
Wow.
Have you ever had one?
Yes, I have.
It's like rocket fuel.
Yes, I'm sure I haven't had one of those.
I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable.
I'm sure I haven't had one of those. Anyway, Luca Zia, who was the governor of Veneto.
Luca.
Yeah, the region where Prosecco is produced.
Okay.
Says, for the umpteenth time. Sorry, no.
Is it German?
Hey, I'll do the Italian one.
Yeah.
Try
again.
Who's Italian?
Why don't you think of...
Football people, Italian. Yeah, Gianfranco Zola.
Zola, Zola.
For the umpteenth time, the Anglo-Saxons are crusading against Italian products. It's not good. I do not like the traffic light system in the UK supermarkets. Which says that the Prosecco is dangerous to the teeth.
Yeah, okay.
It's not dangerous to the teeth, okay?
Yeah. You sound like one of those blokes in The Godfather. Who's seen better days.
Well, that's better, because they were all Italian.
Well, of course they were, from Sicily.
Anyway, in the first 6 months of this year, exports to Britain of Italian sparkling wine, 97% of which was Prosecco, stood at over 33 million bottles.
Do you think that has shrunk by
7%.
Do they drink it in Italy? Because you've been to Italy many times.
Right? I have,
I don't ever remember seeing a drink called Prosecco.
No, I don't.
Until relatively recently.
But I don't remember seeing a drink called Prosecco in this country until about 4 years ago when I was in a pub with my niece and I said, do you want a glass of champagne?
Mm.
She said, oh, no, quite. No need for that. Get me a Prosecco. Prosecco? What's that?
Yeah.
I didn't even know what it was.
No, I know.
But
I was going to say, you've been to Italy quite a lot, I would say, in the last 20 years. I've never seen Prosecco on sale in Italy. In a bar.
No, I don't think I have. What I would say is that also, having travelled to Italy quite a lot, and you're right, my 20s and 30s, I'd never heard of Pinot Grigio until I saw it on the shelves at Tesco's in this country.
Yeah.
So I don't know where Pinot Grigio came from. The guy, by the way, who started flogging Pinot Grigio around the world from Italy.
Mm.
I hope he's a billionaire because it was the smartest sales move ever.
Well, yeah, because Pinot Grigio doesn't just come from Italy, though. Pinot Grigio is a grape, isn't it?
Yeah, it comes originally from Italy. That's why it's called Pinot Grigio.
True. I'm not sure that's true.
Oh, it is. Of course it is. Where the fuck do you think it comes from?
Where do you think Pinot Noir comes from?
Pinot Noir can also come from Italy if it's a red grape.
Well, no, it was originated in France, actually.
Yeah, okay.
But Pinot Noir is now drunk in very many different countries.
Yeah, Tuscany. They make a lot of that in Tuscany.
They make Pinot Noir in every country in the wine-making world.
That's because they exported the grape.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
The grape from Italy.
Yeah, but the Pinot grape is the same. Pinot Noir and Pinot Grigio come
from
the same
bollocks.
Basic
one's red and one's green. Fuck off. Everybody knows that.
That's a bit harsh.
No.
I'm just giving you a lesson.
Sorry.
Fuck off.
Sorry. Maybe that was a bit harsh.
Maybe we'll get the wine bird in to sort that one out. She's going to come along and do some cooking with us, you know, with Mike Graham Kitchen.
I know.
She's going to bring some wine. She might even bring boxed wine, actually.
Okay. Yeah, but I brought a boxed wine in once and you said you would know it.
Yeah, but this is proper, but this is like really expensive boxed wine. This is a new thing. It's boxed wine that costs a few bucks. I've got a story for you. You know how you like stories about shagging vicars, right?
Well,
I've got a better one.
I always find it very funny.
I've got a better one for you. You've seen this one about the married policeman in South Wales. There's a married policeman in South Wales who's had to resign after being caught. How about this?
Semi-naked,
romping with a female solicitor in the interview room.
I know.
Obviously, you know, I don't want to make ridiculous jokes he was taking down her particulars. But
I heard about that.
What an absolute scandal. It's no wonder you can't get a cop to come around and fix anything up for
you.
No. He was allegedly caught having sex with a female solicitor at a busy station.
That's right, and he locked the interview room door,
They
were banging on it.
They got cameras in there.
I tell you what I've been watching, by the way, and this is not a Porky Vision or anything, but have you watched Trust?
Trust,
It's a programme about John Paul Getty.
Oh, yeah. Is he the one who lost his ear?
Well, it gets to that, but it hasn't got to there yet. That's his grandson, of course, who lost his ear. But they set the scene at Sutton Place. Sutton Place.
Oh,
is
in
this...
New York, yeah.
No. Funny enough, he might have named it after that, but it's this vast estate down in... Sussex.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and it's called Sutton Place. It's a huge state.
Well, Sutton Place was the very expensive part of New York.
I used to walk down there.
Which kind of stuck out into the East River, didn't it?
It did.
Our friend Dick Oliver lived there towards the end of his life.
Did he? Yeah. Did Dick live there? Yeah. I used to walk down there just to smell the money, smell the glamour and, you know, see all the stretch limos and all that. I used to love it. On a Sunday morning, I used to walk down there and get the papers and walk back.
Right.
But, Sutton Place was this vast mansion. And... the way they present it is that John Paul Getty Sr., not only did he have a young wife who was about half his age, and John Paul Getty in the series is about 75, he also had a concubine of three other women who all lived in like a harem together.
Oh, really?
And one of them was chosen.
Sort of on the grounds of the estate kind of thing?
Or just
in the big house?
No, they lived in the big house.
Oh,
they
really?
All lived in the big house.
Oh,
there were no jealousies amongst them. Uh-huh. She said, well, I'm his girlfriend and you lot are just here for a bit of fun. You know, and they all accepted it and all that. But he was business-minded all the time. Mm. But two or three nights a week, he'd ask one of them to come and join him, you know.
He didn't have more than one at a time, then?
No, I don't know. But, I mean, they showed you two things in the first episode, right? And one of them is when he takes one of his younger I won't call them wifelets, because that was the name that
Lord Bath
gave to the hundreds of women that he invited to Longley, you know. But, one of them came up and... he was indulging in sexual intercourse with her from the behind position.
What,
you see what I mean?
The
Fromby, the from behind. That's right, absolutely.
Was it in any particular lavish location? Or?
It was in his bedroom with a four-poster bed and all that kind of stuff. Okay. However, because of his age...
how old was he at this point?
About 75, However, because of his age... right? Because of because of his age...
yeah.
Something happened, and he had to stop.
Right.
Now,
that can happen.
Well, I mean, your imagination goes wild.
Is this all part of this drama you're watching?
Yeah, it's all part of the drama.
So you're seeing this happen as it happens, is it?
Yeah, seeing it happens, as it happens.
So why does he stop then?
Well, it was one of two reasons.
Yeah.
In my view, it was either loss of rigidity,
okay.
Or it could have been the curse of the elder man and the premature thing. You know what I mean? You know,
I don't think that's necessarily an elder man's thing, is
it? I don't know. Mm. But anyway, the point of the story is...
it was all over a bit too soon, in other words.
All over a bit too soon. So the point is that he had to stop. But then the second wife came up. She's the one between the real girlfriend and the youngest one.
Okay.
And she comes after a doctor has visited him.
Right.
And the doctor comes in and he says, what can you do for me? And the doctor pulls out this huge syringe.
Right.
And he's sitting there and he says, he says, you know, it looks a bit intimidating. Where exactly do you inject me?
Yeah.
And the doctor said, directly into the penis.
What's he giving it?
I don't know. So he says, well, get on with
Starch.
It then. So then, the next scene you see is he's called the lady
the
up to his room, and she comes in, And he opens his dressing gown, and she goes, "Oh!" And her eyes go wide open.
This fucking show on. I've never seen it or heard it.
It's called Trust.
So it's carry on up the Khyber or something.
And then the next scene is you can hear the lady screaming all over the house.
Oh, I see.
Presumably because she's enjoying whatever's happening in the bedroom.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Well, it sounds like he's been given some kind of artificial aid, doesn't it?
Well, I don't think it's very... The injection thing, what's it called, the syringe, didn't look artificial, believe me. And you wouldn't have got anybody, I wouldn't have allowed anybody in the world to stick something like that in my todger, I'm telling you, because it looked very, very painful
to
me.
You never know, you might enjoy it. Yeah. Now, I've got to just add one more thing from this story from the South Wales Police, who say they're investigating, currently running a misconduct investigation. Mm. But do you know what the name of the place in Swansea is where that was all happening? At the police station.
Yeah.
Cockett.
No.
Cockett.
Must have made it up.
Cockett.
Is that the Welsh interpretation?
No, I think it's a part of Swansea. It's like the Mumbles. You know the Mumbles where the Mumbles, Catherine Zeta-Jones comes from?
Yeah.
I think that's where the police station is.
Oh, bloody hell.
Absolutely shocking.
Absolutely shocking.
Horrible.
Mm. Having just been informed, sir, that you're going to Spain, I take the liberty to send you your account with me.
Yeah.
I wish you success and a glory, speedy return.
Right. How much was the bill?
Well, the bill was for £2,500, but that's a lot of money these days.
That's a hell of a lot of money to spend in a brothel.
Well, it
is. That's about £1 million now, isn't it?
Well, do you know how much each quote session was?
No.
£10. So that's 250
visits.
250 visits.
And I mean, are we assuming these were all just himself, or was he paying for his mates to go with him?
I don't know. But
is this some kind of orgy?
You know,
going
you'd
on?
Have to go once a night, 5 days a week for a year to rub a bill of £2,500. You know what I mean? He was indulging in sexual intercourse with her from the behind position.
Well,
you see what I mean? The from me, the from behind. That's right, absolutely.
Was it in any particular lavish location?
It was in his bedroom with a four-poster bed and all that kind of stuff. Okay. However, because of his age...
How old is he at this point?
About 75, However, because of his age... because of his age...
Yeah.
Something happened, and he had to stop.
Right.
Now,
well, I mean, that can happen.
I mean, your imagination goes wild. Is this
all part of this drama you're watching?
Yeah, it's all part of the drama.
So you're seeing this happen as it happens?
Yeah, it happens.
So why does he stop then?
Well, it was one of two reasons.
Yeah.
In my view, it was either loss of rigidity.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or it could have been the curse of the elder man and the premature thing. You know what I mean? You know,
I don't think that's necessarily an elder man's thing.
I don't know. You wouldn't have got anybody, I wouldn't have allowed anybody in the world to stick something like that in my todger, I'm telling you, because it looked very, very painful to me.
Well, you know, you never know, you might enjoy it.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.